I hereby introduce to you, Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hey, 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 welcome to Amazing FBA, the place to be for UK-based Amazon entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Michael Veazey. Welcome to the show. Today's episode is brought to you by the 10K Collective. The 10K Collective is a collection of men and women who are doing at least $25,000 a month on Amazon in the UK, US, Europe, doesn't matter, but that is the figure as a minimum. Now, why that figure? Because it means you get to meet with like-minded people who are serious about Amazon, who are doing well, and who are ambitious to do better rather than knocking around with newbies, which isn't going to help you if you want to scale up from six figures a month to seven figures or whatever you're ambitious to do, four to five figures. We have people who are doing up to around the quarter of a million a month mark. And as I say, the lowest is 25K. So it's still quite a big spread, but we have amazing things that get shared. You will get 30 minutes each, minimum of 20, 25, even in a really busy month. And there's only 8 to 12 people at any given meeting. So what do we cover in the meetings? Well, we cover topics from how to stay in stock, make more money by not missing out and not being out of stock, dominating a market and the mindset needed, handling whole container loads, how to predict stock needed, for example, how to get a product on primetime British TV for free, as one of our members did back at Halloween last year. So these are not prescribed by me and it's not a set course. It is simply what comes up, what you need to handle right now to move your business forward. It's very simple, robust format. It's doing really well. We've got great loyalty from the members. I think out of 10 people that have joined it so far, about 8 are still with us after several months, which is a real testament to the fact that they're getting value and there's a great feel of community and we have a lot of fun. We take business seriously, but we also try not to take ourselves too seriously. We have a lot of fun. We're very open and we have a lot of serious debates that actually result in people doing stuff and taking action, like opening up in America, like going to Germany, like, you know, doubling their orders. I mean, serious action takes place as a result of these meetings. And it's also good fun. You'll need to be able to get to London as well as doing 25,000 a month minimum, roughly in dollars. And it's application only. So if you want to check that out, go to amazingfba.com/mastermind. Make sure you click through to the 10K Collective page rather than applying for the Zero to Hero Mastermind, which is just for those who are just starting out. Thanks very much for listening. Now, on with the show. Hey, 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 welcome to Amazing FBA. Today, I'm going to talk about why I'm outsourcing my washing up to grow my Amazon business. So first question is, why outsource generally? Well, I think that question has been answered on the theoretical higher level by Aaron O'Sullivan very well recently in a podcast. And if you missed that, let's go back and have a listen to that. So it's www.amazingfba.com/Aaron, A-R-R-A-N for November. And Aaron O'Sullivan is an expert in creating systems and processes and outsourcing for Amazon sellers. So the theory is good. Today is more of a down-at-home question of how do I get over the hang-ups that are blocking me from outsourcing, right? And these are my personal hang-ups that I am battling, plus whatever opinions of people around me that might be influencing them as well. For me, the reality that's kicking me into doing the outsourcing is some pain. And I don't mean physical pain, although that can be part of it. I mean, I'm just getting tired. I'm getting fed up with a groundhog day of redoing tasks, whether they're domestic tasks or actually coaching people one-to-one, whatever it is that is repetitive and could be systematized. And actually, I can need to serve myself and others greater than the pain of action for us to get moving. And certainly that's been true for me. And that's not a sexy statement. It'd be great to be vision-oriented. And I can be, but sometimes I allow my smaller self, if you like, my more fear-led self, to lead things. And then I have to be real about starting. You know what? Maybe pain is the starting point that gets me off the starting blocks. So be it. So the pains that I'm experiencing that I would say you may be experiencing as well, you've got to be real about them. First of all, there are 24 hours in a day, last time I looked. If you are in a relationship, let alone if you have small kids, I know quite a few people that I try and help build businesses and they're in that situation. And you're building a business and you want to occasionally speak to your parents and, like, God forbid, go for a drink with a friend or something occasionally, you're going to be pretty busy. Building a business is time and energy consuming. And yes, you should go in with that clear front and center. That said, there is no point in burning yourself out over the period of several years. You know, burning the midnight oil for several months while you launch a new business is kind of standard and sometimes is hard to avoid. But to try and do that over a longer period is just not sustainable. a lot of what you're going to do is you're going to miss out on the beautiful moments of life. For example, it's lovely weather here today in London, and that's not a common thing if you've been to London or lived in England for any length of time. You know, we got to value the weather. So I went out for a run, and I don't want to be stuck indoors all day staring at a camera or tap at my laptop. Or if I'm going to be at my laptop, I want to be creating value to you guys and doing what I do best, which is talking to camera, creating thoughts, putting thoughts into order and making relevant to Amazon sellers and would-be Amazon sellers, and hopefully helping you. I can't do that if I'm washing up or if I'm doing some mundane business task that somebody else can do better than me. Health is also an issue. Talking of running, I need to get and stay fit again, and stress is always an issue. I'm type A personality, like a lot of people that start businesses. That means I'm a stress head in plain English, which means, fine, I've got to acknowledge that. I've got to have time to go and chill out, and I need to give myself that time. Relationships are another thing that can really, really suffer when you're building a business. Again, if you've got a supportive spouse or husband, wife, whatever, mother, son, whoever your significant people are, then that really helps. And there is going to be a difficult period where you're going to be very, very much under pressure time-wise when you're building a new business. And it's important to have those conversations. That said, if over time, all your wife or husband or whatever, kids, mother, experience of you, or your friends for that matter, if you have very close friendships, if all those people experience of you is that you're always stressed out, you're always busy, you never have time for them, that eventually just sends a signal that you don't care and those relationships suffer. It's very important to clear that space. Like, for example, I managed to clear some space so that I had a lunch hour, and I spent that, you know, gave my wife a cuddle, I had some lunch, just called up with how she's doing. You know, she's got her own challenges at the moment with some dental work she's had done and some health challenges, and people need that. Relationships need that. So you've got to get that done, and you've got to build a business over time. So the answer is get other people involved. So the upsides of outsourcing, just sort of from the emotional point of view, is for me personally, it's exciting. I like the idea of having a team. Like even having, earlier today, I had a Romanian. He's in London, but London is full of really helpful East Europeans, which is one of the wonderful things, I believe, of being part of the European Union. I'm not ashamed to say that and plant my colors and plant my flag there, by the way, just in case you hadn't gathered my views on that situation happening over the water. I think that's really exciting. You know, somebody who's really hardworking and willing to come and help me get stuff done and has got a positive attitude as well. It's great to be part of a team. You can grow faster. I was in here recording this podcast and it's sort of first version of it, and I've now got the time to re-record that. I wouldn't have been the case if I spent the morning washing up and cleaning the kitchen. You could give somebody a job as well, which is great, which they seem to really like. This guy really liked cleaning, and I'm not really that big a fan of it, unsurprisingly. And it gives you back your mental focus. I'm like, why am I here today? Today, I'm working from home, but I'm not here to do housework. I'm not being a housewife. I'm in the home space. That's a danger. It makes sense financially and for whatever practical reasons for the moment, a lot of the time, although I've got a workspace that I share down in Camden. Great, but that's often not practical to use for various reasons, including doing a podcast, which is hard to do in a shared workspace. I was able to focus on being the business person this morning while somebody else was focused on being the house person. And also gave me back some time to play, as I said, just be playful with my wife at lunch, and instead of just having to go, I'm going to down a sandwich in 5 minutes of regret, you know, rather resentful conversation with the feeling I need to be working, stop taking my time. It was like, I've got time for you. Let's take the time. Let's enjoy it. So how can you justify intellectually paying for somebody else to do stuff even when you are not turning over tens of thousands a month or even anything on your Amazon business? Well, there's a few different traditional arguments, and then there's a few slants on it that I'd like to give you. So having seen that there are many pains that you can only overcome by outsourcing work or getting rid of it, and many upsides that can only come from building a team, how do we justify this? Well, £10 an hour work versus the £100 an hour argument, which is to say, you know, if you're washing up, that's a £10 or £15 an hour maximum job. Whereas if you're creating a wonderful product or you're negotiating 50p per unit off several thousand units of stuff from China, that's actually, if you spend half an hour negotiating and you get $1 a unit of 5,000 units, that's $5,000 in half an hour. That's $10,000 an hour work, right? You're not necessarily going to achieve that all the time. But if you can get something of that done, that's starts to show how one single bit of time can be very, very, very valuable indeed. Most of our work isn't going to be at that extreme level, but you can't get to those really high value points if you never get started at all, because you're buried in the weeds of the small things. So there is one argument that I think is a bit flawed, and then there are several which people don't even tend to consider. So let's look at the flawed argument first. The flawed argument is based on the present reality, which is to say, for example, if I earn £40 an hour, which is the standard kind of income for a lot of people in the southeast of England at this point, and I can get an extra hour of work done for me for £10 an hour, I've effectively earned £30 an hour more than I would have done. Well, yes and no, it depends what you're doing. So if you're outsourcing domestic tasks for, say, £15, and I can average about £40 an hour working on my podcast, which may be, it's under the real figure, but let's say it's 50, I'm going to get taxed on that. And then I'm going to pay for any domestic stuff. So the reality is I might get taxed on the £50. I might end up with £35 post-tax income, or maybe even less. And then maybe it's £30 and I'm paying this guy £15. I am ahead of the game, but only by £15 based on current income, current circumstances. That's okay. So that, I think you need to be real about that, so you don't sense that, oh, this is bullshit, and therefore you don't take it seriously. But here's the thing. What we're not talking about is the opportunity cost, which I think is a huge thing that everybody instinctively underestimates when they first start off in business. And it's only now, I've been around in business for several years now, for myself online, that I know the sheer amount of money I have left on the table because of inaction. In other words, that's opportunity cost, to put it in simple terms. So the way I measure this stuff, as I've talked about in another show, another episode, is Jerome Shramko's very, very handy metric, the effective hourly rate. So basically, that's the amount of money you take in, the revenue, minus costs, which gives you the profit, divided by all the hours you put into a product, a project, I should say, sorry. But let's take it down to the level of an Amazon product. Let's say, let's add up the number of hours that you are going to put into this. And by the way, this probably lends itself more to looking on the show notes than just listening. So if in doubt, pop over to the blog, amazingfba.com/blog, and you will find the show notes there. So let's say you do 10 hours a week of research and finding suppliers in China for 3 months. So that's 130 hours, right, by my calculation. Then let's say you have 15 hours a week for 3 weeks, launch a few weeks later when you get the product in. So you do some jump send giveaways, maybe you run viral launch campaign, maybe you do some email follow-up marketing, and maybe you run Facebook ads, whatever it is. So that takes, say, 45 hours of your time. It might be more. That's kind of an average number, right? And then let's say it takes 2 hours a week of maintenance for the 1 year that you continue to sell that product. That's just quite pessimistic. You might well sell a product for several years. Let's say, let's be conservative and say it's 1 year. That's 100 hours. So we've put a total of 275 hours in, which is about 6 weeks full-time work, quite substantial. Now, if we have a revenue of, say, 300 units a month, selling at £15 each for 12 months, that's about £54,000 in revenue. Not bad for 6 weeks' work. Okay, but we have to then think about the costs and look at the profit out of that. So let's say we have a 20% profit margin. Bit conservative, but, you know, very, very doable. 25 to 30% is probably better and very achievable as well. But this is a very conservative figure. £10,800 in income divided by 275 hours is an effective hourly rate within the first year of your Amazon business of £39 an hour. So that's without thinking about the future potential, say 18 months, 2 years down the line. And we'll talk about that, where that can grow to in the future. But that immediately says to me that if you didn't get to that point for 6 more months because you got caught up in domestic tasks or low-value business tasks that you could outsource to a VA or to a physical person. And often, by the way, business tasks can be outsourced to somebody in the Philippines for $5 an hour or something, or £4 an hour, even less. It's amazing how many great people are out there available for peanuts, or even some Romanian in Romania, so he can afford to work for less money because they are, you know, have lower living expenses. It's amazing what you can outsource, but that is already worthwhile. And if you put yourself 6 months behind, then you are immediately missing out on effectively £5,000 of opportunity cost. Now, the next thing is something that nobody really seems to talk about consciously, but I call it the learning opportunity cost. So whatever you do most, you get better at. So What's the market price in this place where I live in a very expensive part of London, expensive city, for washing up and cleaning as a skill? Well, it turns out about £12 to £15 an hour. Okay, so that's not a very high hourly rate. The other question is about the future. Will it go up as you get more skilled? Possibly a bit. It's probably going to top off at £20, £25 an hour. It's never going to get to 50, 60, 80, 100, anything exciting. Now, if you compare that to the market price for creating and running an Amazon business, well, I think there are three ways of measuring that, that spring to mind. The first one is that top consultants charge for this money, and people like Will Churnland at Goat Consulting will charge quite a healthy percentage of your Amazon net revenue, which can be thousands and thousands a month. Okay, so I would put my own price for that sort of thing at about £1,000 a month per SKU per product. So that is worth a lot more money than being a cleaner, for example. And this isn't denigrating cleaners. By the way, just to be clear, this isn't about me judging the importance of things getting done or judging anybody else. This is purely about how do you get yourself out of the rat race and into the clear blue skies and blue waters of being able to control your time and not burn out, to have a productive, wonderful life. It's not about me being judgmental or snobby or anything else, right? It's way beyond that. Another way of looking at this is how much do people make in their own Amazon businesses? And we'll look at an example where the effective hourly rate can very easily, within 18 months, 2 years or less, if you have more money to spend, possibly more if it takes you longer, we can very easily hit £100 an hour, which is a nice pay rate for pretty much anyone. And also if it's leveraged, so it can grow to effectively an infinite hourly rate. The other thing is that people sell businesses based on their profit. And if you have a business that does, for example, £10,000 a month profit, which is 120 grand a year, you can sell that for 2 to 3 times the income. So you can sell that for £360,000. That starts to be a very significant value that the marketplace is putting on the ability to create and grow an Amazon business. And the more you do of something, the better you get. If you major in minor things, you'll just get good at sweeping, cleaning, doing emails, you know, arguing with your boss, whatever it is you do that isn't really valuable. So the other question, will it go up as you get better? And undoubtedly, yes. As you get better at running a business, the whole point as an entrepreneur, really, well, one of the points is that you get paid according to what you're worth. So at the beginning, you're not worth very much because you don't know what you're doing. And if you're smart and work very, very hard, you can make that go up quickly. But really, as you learn your craft of how to bring value to a marketplace, how to create systems, how to manage people and so forth, then obviously you become more valuable, you make more money. There's another thing that talking of managing people, I want to call the learning to manage people opportunity cost, which is a bit of an ugly phrase. Nevertheless, I think there is something in this. In and of itself is such a big skill. If you ask, is there a big market price on the skill of managing yourself and being able to turn up on time to work and do basic tasks well? Yeah, there's a value to your family. And in the marketplace, what is it? 10, 15, 20 pounds an hour, you know, reliable kind of office drone. And again, the country needs people like that. The world needs people like that. I'm not denigrating people that way, but it's just, if it's a future that you don't want, you've got to start rebuilding your future now, right? Is there a market value in finding managing outsourcers and learning to scale a business? Well, I mean, that's a bit of a leading question. Obviously, there's a huge value in that, okay? You can grow a business faster and not burn out. That's worth so much to you personally and your family for the years to come as a skill to get better at. Again, if you work on a skill, you get better. If you learn to handle outsourcing stuff and it goes wrong and you correct and you learn to find people and you learn how to find good people and you learn from the mistakes you make and you find the wrong people and you learn from that and you get a system that finds good people, then you know how to find excellent people and how to motivate them, how to keep them, how to get them to get excellent people on board. That's an unbelievably powerful skill set to learn. You ain't going to learn that by doing a bunch of emails to clients every day, a bunch of whatever cleaning, whatever it is. Again, I'm not denigrating that way of living. It just isn't going to get you out of the hole that you're in if you're wanting freedom. And if you're listening to this podcast, the chances are very, very high that you do. The interesting phenomenon that comes up at this point is where people are willing to spend money and where they're not. Because a lot of the time people say, oh, well, I can't justify spending money on an outsourcer because my business isn't making any revenue there. And in a way, that's logical. And then they, and I say they, and I'm one of those people, will go and spend £1,000 on courses over the course of 12 months, but they won't spend any money on a £10 an hour outsourcer. So why the hell is that? Well, I think it's an unconscious feeling that you're getting something real for your money with a course, plus it's buying a dream versus a person. There's a drain on your finances, money going out. It's a negative thing. I would encourage you to see both as a potential investment. A course is a very, very valuable investment. I'm selling on Amazon as a result of having followed a course. Now, I personally feel that that course didn't serve me. It wasn't sold honestly. It was sold on the basis this was a turnkey system. I don't think it is. It was sold on the basis of this is everything you need to know, and actually it didn't teach me about sourcing from China. Now, I have held off from creating a course for a long time because I wanted to make sure I really, really knew exactly what was going to be most helpful to my clients and followers. And I now know that from 2 years of solid one-to-one work, but I was starting to feel like I was reinventing the wheel. And what's the word? Not reinventing the wheel. It was Groundhog Day. And I was saying the same things again and again. And I thought, I need to put this in video form. And I thought, well, if I'm going to do that for my clients and then create a structured A to Z version of everything, I might as well put that into a course and offer it to the world. So that is what we're going to do. The world is a bit grand. We'll start off by offering it to people on the email list. So keep a lookout for that. The Amazon course that is coming up is coming to you soon if you're interested. So the point is not, I'm not saying that courses aren't valuable, but if you don't implement them, they have very questionable value. If they inspire you, there's some value in there, but £1,000 is a lot of money for inspiration. I mean, maybe it's not, but I think you should implement to get real value out of it. Now, I've spent about £1,000 and $1,500, so a bit north of about £1,200 over the last 6 months on Amazon courses, of which I've implemented nothing, and I've watched about 3 videos. So that was exactly, I'm guilty of the same behavior and yet resistant to buying in a £10 outsourcer to do really simple stuff. So we're all in the same boat, and I'm the same. If you feel the same as that, then we're the same. But what I think is the truth is that £10 an hour is an investment. You're buying back time in which if you did nothing else, but you paid somebody £10 an hour and you watched the videos of your average Amazon course would probably be 10, 15, maybe even 20 hours of content. And it costs you an extra, what's it going to be? 20 hours. So that's going to be 200 whole pounds to buy back the time to implement the course. You've already paid £1,000 for the course or whatever you paid. An extra £200 to actually watch it is actually worth a lot more than that. So it's a great investment. Now, here's a clue that you're falling foul of all this stuff. I've been intending to do X for 5 years, but I just don't have the time or haven't found the time. Right. And you get to my grand old age, I'm 45 in the autumn this year, or the fall, as you would call it in the States. And it gets very sobering very fast when you look back and you think, oh my goodness, I've been intending to do X, Y, and Z for 20 years. That's ugly. That's when you know you're wasting your life and you've got to change something. So I think that sometimes comes from limiting beliefs. Well, I'll build the business slowly and then gradually I'll be able to justify outsourcing small business tasks. Eventually, I'm going to employ a nanny and a cleaner, and then maybe I'll get a cook, and then I'll get a driver, and I'll live the life of Riley, and I will hang out with my kids while the work gets done. Well, I'm not suggesting you have to go from A to Z in one bound, but really, if you don't make some time right now, you're not going to build that business. If you haven't done it for the last 5 years, why is this year going to be different if you do the same thing again? You need to make the time somehow. You need to weigh up the future value of the business income versus the current situation. Now, I'm not suggesting you go from nothing to outsourcing your life in one go. Apart from anything else, that's not a good way of learning things. You need to do small baby steps. You know, take action, try and structure it, mess it up, get feedback, and then readjust. Maybe hire unsuitable people. Maybe you don't manage them well. Maybe you realize that you're a control freak and you have to let go of that. Whatever it is, you know? So I'm not suggesting in one go, but the basic principle needs to be that you need to start getting people involved and getting stuff off your plate pretty as early as you possibly can. Now, there's an old phrase, which I think is true and is misleading. So here's the truth. I think a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. I think that's true because future income is uncertain. If you've got money in the bank, that's a definite value, and you've got to weigh that up against uncertain possible future income. Plus, there's an additional thing. If you outsource domestic work or anything that isn't tax deductible, you're doing that out of post-tax income. So you've got to take account of the numbers and be real. But is a bird in the hand worth 10 in the bush? For that matter, is it worth 20? Is it worth 50? The truth is, that the online business gives very asymmetric results, which is to say, this is something that Jeff Bezos makes a mantra of, and we should take the guy seriously, because apart from being the richest person in the world right now in May 2018 and likely to be right at the top for a long time and probably heading north as well in terms of personal value, apart from that, he runs the system that we're trying to build our businesses on. So we should understand the guy's mentality and go with it, not against it. And he says, you know, he's looking for asymmetric wins, risk reward. So if you're playing baseball and the maximum you can get is 4 runs in any given hit, it makes sense to play defensively. If you're online and you have a real killer product launch, you can make crazy return on investment and crazy amount of effective hourly rate. In other words, you maybe work for 275 hours, as I've said, to maybe you weren't longer for 400 hours to launch a product, but which then makes £100,000 a month instead of 50. And then at a 30% profit margin, suddenly you're looking at profit of a crazy amount per year. So you're looking at like $360,000 a year for 400 hours of work. You know, that's crazy. And in that situation, is it really worth saving the 10 quid now? Well, you've got to weigh up the probability of the future reward times the size of it. And the probability is hard to put your finger on, but let's just use some rules of thumb. 80-20 rule, which is an amazing rule of thumb, which I think is the law of the universe, by the way, not a rule of thumb. But broadly speaking, 1 in 5 products will take off, 1 in 5 will be duff, and 3 will be quite good. So try and launch 2-3 products at a go if you can, in a small scale. And that's the philosophy behind my entire business model. Really, it's iterate from small wins to medium wins to large wins, scale the winners, cut the losers, and then repeat. But without getting too deep into that, you know, that means 1 in 5 products will be a winner. 1 in 20 products, which is the 80-20 of the 80-20, will be killing it. You've got to be in it to win it. So the business logic is that you really should be getting out there as soon as you can and getting your time and energy and capital focused where you can kill it and maximize the probability of that, and get other stuff off your desk as soon as you dare to do that. It's got to be affordable. It's an affordability issue, not is this a wise use of our time and money issue. As soon as you can afford it, I think you should be outsourcing. Anyone who's earning more than about £30 an hour, or, you know, above whatever, I don't know, above sort of average wage per year in the UK, should probably be considering outsourcing. So another whole massive load of reasons why you should be doing this stuff is your personal energy and mood. For me, it feels good to command, not be commanded. Now, I'm not talking about ego trips. That can be part of it, but just be nice, be a good manager. And that's part of learning to lead people. But it's energizing to lead others, and it gets you into leadership mentality. That is huge. That's huge. You're no longer the drone creating an unstable part-time job for yourself at your computer at night doing Amazon research. You're commanding others. You're creating structures. You're motivating others. That's huge. It puts a concrete value on your time. So if I'm paying else to do the washing up, I'd better be doing something that's worth more than 15 quid an hour. Otherwise, what the hell am I doing? And I made damn sure today that I did that. And a podcast for me is a mainstay of the flow of traffic into the amazing FBA sort of system. And also the way in which I give lots of value to lots of people who, most of whom will never pay me any money, but that's fine because I'm doing something with my life that's beyond just taking money. I'm helping people. And a small percentage of those who listen will want to get involved for mentoring or masterminds, or hopefully to build by this online course as well, which I truly believe is a distillation of many, many hours of helping other sellers and the things that don't work as well as do work. So I've learned from all of that and distilled it. But, you know, that's, again, if I can serve that while somebody else does a mundane task anyone can do, I should be doing the thing that only I can do. Only I can be Michael Veazey, the face of the brand, for better or for worse. If you're still listening, I presume there is something about that for you that attracts you. I wouldn't blame you for wanting to listen to something else, but, you know, I guess this is helpful because people listen to it and they say it's helpful. Also, if you are feeling overwhelmed, then you need to break that feeling of overwhelm, and outsourcing stuff does that. This is huge. Again, building a business can feel overwhelming often because it is. You're trying to do 30 hours worth of work in 15 hours a week that you snatch from your wife and kids and get grief from them. You snatch from your job and you feel like you're neglecting job, or you snatch from your sleep and you feel sleep deprived. It is overwhelming. So get some help and then it won't be overwhelming. Also, and this is very big as well, it's a mentality shift that happens over time, and I'm still trying to turn my brain around. It's a positive way of dealing with the whole question of value, productivity, and profit. Because there are only, if you think about it, two ways that a business can grow profit. Only two. It can either increase income or it can decrease costs. Now, it's very natural to be focused on low costs when you're bootstrapping and starting out. And I think that's quite right. Sure, you need to keep a close eye on them. But if you have zero turnover, there is actually only one way you can increase profits or even create profits, and that is create or increase income. And if you have no time to do that, then I would argue the only way you can increase the income is to buy the time back. So you're investing in your future income of your business. I think it's no more, no less than that. So, conclusions, guys. I would say start small with outsourcing. Make it affordable, but start. I really wish I'd started earlier. The level of confidence, the level of happiness that I get now, I've outsourced the podcast editing to a trusty editor called Daniel. And thank you, Daniel. Publicly thank you once again for your work, and Joe for doing the show notes. Delighted to welcome Joe on the team. The team's gradually expanding. I've got my business partner, Rob, from my Amazon business is now coming on board to be the chief technology officer, effectively for Amazing FBA, and look after the website. Rob is effectively becoming the chief operating officer in many practical ways for one of our Amazon businesses. People are starting to, I'm starting to grow a team, and it feels great. I really encourage you to get a taste of that as early as you can. So here are a few things that you might want to outsource that, for me, are on my hit list. Domestic tasks. If they're blocking your time from starting a business, outsource it, or you may never get around to starting an Amazon business. Have Tesco order deliveries of groceries instead of going there online and in person. Use ready meals if they're healthy, or even healthy takeaways like Itsu or Wagamama. Get somebody in to clean. That's big. A lot of you will already be doing that okay already, but for some of us like me, it's a first. I can't believe I waited to the age of 45 to get a cleaner, but hey, it's an exciting thing. I'd urge you to try it. For domestic tasks, you don't need to hire somebody in a complicated way. You could go to taskrabbit.co.uk or airtasker.co.uk, which is what I used, and ask your friend for recommendations as well. Recommendations are always a great way of getting good people. For existing business tasks, for example, I've got a Zero to Hero mastermind member who owns a warehouse and is doing his own picking and packing. That's a minimum wage job. I said to him, okay, outsource some of that a week. You don't have to do all of it. Outsource 10 hours a week and put that into opening a Seller Central account and getting some of your products, which already exist, and they're already packaged and everything. And he has the designs and he has the patents, everything. Get them up on Amazon. So Greg, if you're listening, I'm speaking to you, my friends. Sorry to break confidentiality, but I'm really, because I'm not telling anyone what you sell, nor will I, but get on with it, because you're losing your life one day at a time. It's death by a thousand cuts, this stuff. Invoicing and credit control. That can, for any business, anyone who runs their own little freelance business, that's a pain. That can take a lot of hours up. Just get a VA to do that. It's incredibly straightforward. Customer service emails and calls. Again, even if you're just a freelancer, let's say you're a piano teacher or you're a doctor, or you're a what else, a management consultant or a project manager, you can employ somebody to deal with this stuff. Okay, if it's online type tasks, you could go to fiverr.com. That's like the sort of training wheels for outsourcing. It's ready-made tasks. You know, it's very, very clearly defined by the outsourcers themselves. You just go and look for what you want, very precise, very narrow, very, very, you know, tactical rather than strategic. And then you can scale up. Upwork.com is somewhere else I've taken people from. And again, ask people for recommendations. If you're looking at Amazon-specific building tasks, and I think there's one place to go really where the quality is likely to be higher and you're probably going to be able to hit the ground running, and that is freeup.com. So that's F-R-E-E-E, three E's, of which, just to be clear, I'm an affiliate, and there will be links on the show notes. But things you can do, you can outsource everything. And this is one of my next things in my hit list that I've been wanting to do for ages, and I just got to have the courage to overcome these mental blocks, which is market research, gathering product ideas. You could be Googling, it could be on social media. You need a clear process, but I've been creating that process anyway, and you'll have access to that if you choose to buy the online course, which I will be doing a beta testing price for email subscribers for the first few people, so that we can get your feedback and adjust. Look out for those emails if that interests you. So there will be a structure, and then you can just plug somebody into it and go, right, follow these videos and go and do the things it says. And if you have a problem, come back to me. So product idea creation, product idea elimination, so filtering things through maybe Jungle Scout or Market Intelligence or AZ Analyzer or whatever tool you use. Sourcing, finding suppliers. There are people out there who speak fluent Chinese and live in China but also speak good English and will liaise with you and find you suppliers, and they will be able to look at Chinese-only websites. This is one of the big things on my next hit list. I know several people that are doing this with great success, and I really look on with envy. I'm like, I want that. In the same way that a little boy, I wanted a Ferrari. Right now, I want a fantastic, high-quality outsourcer. That's my what I want for Christmas, or rather not Christmas, but the sort of my summer present to myself, my spring present. What else? Creating listings that convert, translations, keyword research for listings. I have to say that's a high-level skill. The growing market rate for creating an entire product listing is probably about $500. But, you know, it can be worth it. Either because you're starting out yourself and you don't know what you're doing and you just want to get the things moving at a good level. And that's something I've started offering along with my experts that I employ for that. So if you want to explore that, just ping an email, michael@amazingfba.com, and put in the heading listing optimization or listing creation. That is something we're offering now because some people just want it done for them. So those are just a few things that can be done. You can get some to manage your whole Amazon account if you want and just focus on product development and developing your brand. I've done that for people in the past. I no longer offer that because I find it's just too laborious. But if you want somebody to do that for you abroad, for example, you could use judolaunch.com. I spoke to Chris Rawlings very recently on the podcast. If you want to find out more about Chris, go to Chris R, C-H-R-I-S for sugar, R for Romeo. So amazingfba.com/Chris R, I should say. And you can hear all about that. But basically, it's all about just having how can I put this? The courage, but also giving yourself the right, the mental permission to go, I'm allowed to outsource before I'm John Paul Getty, before I'm making 50, 80, 100,000, whatever your number is per month, per year as a person, per month as an Amazon seller, whatever that number is. Almost certainly you are setting the bar too high and depriving yourself of that momentum, that happiness, and that excitement that comes from getting other people involved and getting stuff off your plate, not because you necessarily hate it or even because you're bad at it. It could be that you just need to focus on higher value things and make sure that you actually value what's really important. If you're washing up for 2 hours a day, and then you're doing Amazon product research for 3 hours a day, you're doing an 8-hour day job, and you're commuting 2 hours each way, no wonder you don't see your wife or your kids or your husband or whoever's significant to you, or just have time to read the book that you love or play the piano or whatever it is significant for you. And if that's the case, or you're missing the football game and the Saturdays, if that's the case, it's time to take action. Get it off your plate and onto somebody else's. I promise you, this is a life-changing thing. Every taster I've ever had of this and ever bigger picture of it, I've never regretted it. I've always said to myself, why didn't I do this earlier? So that is what I'm going to ask you to ask yourself, and then go and do it now. Thanks for listening. Hope that was inspiring. See you in the next show. That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. I really appreciate it. Now over to you. First, 80-20 everything. Learn the critical few. Maybe there's one thing in this podcast that can make all the difference. Find that thing. 20% of inputs, give 80% of the outputs. Which are the critical few for you? Then take action. Imperfect action beats perfect inaction every single time. Finally, and not least, review. If you've made mistakes, learn from them. If you've made a success, duplicate it. You can't do that unless you look back. So in summary, learn the critical few. Then do, then review. And then, my friend, it's up to you. That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. Speak to you in the next episode.